Governor Walker will unveil his plan to replace the Affordable Care Act today. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 18th. We will talk with a guest expert about Governor Walker's plan to replace President Obama's health care law. It would extend refundable tax credits to help pay for private health insurance based on age instead of income. Governor Walker's plan would restructure Medicaid and allow people to shop for insurance across state lines. Walker provided details of his proposal to the Associated Press in an advance speech or in advance of his speech in suburban Minneapolis today. Walker's plan does not include cost figures or an estimate of the number of people who would be covered by his plan. We will talk more about his plan to repeal and replace Obamacare this hour, and we'll welcome your reactions and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ed Miller, a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point and the co-director of the Center for the Small City. His areas of expertise include American politics, public policy, and health policy. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
All right. Well, we have some details of Governor Walker's health care plan. At first blush, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions. The main question that I see, because I don't have the full plan, which is only about 6 pages, apparently, but the summary of it that I've seen in the Wall Street Journal indicates that it's not based upon income. Well, that doesn't make any sense, that you're providing tax credits based upon age and not income. But the fact is that in terms of income, so you're going to give tax credits to the wealthy?
Yeah, he says. Apparently it says here that young people, those 17 years old and younger, would get a credit valued at $900, while older consumers between 50 and 64 years old would get a credit valued at $3,000. It would also increase annual limits on tax-free health savings accounts. Which is a program for people with high deductible plans, and it would allow anyone who signs up to get a $1,000 refundable tax credit if you signed up for one of those health savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that doesn't make sense if we want people to get insurance, especially low income people to get insurance, why wouldn't you subsidize the income rather than the age?
Right, you can't. The individuals who are low income simply can't afford it. And so under the current plan, the Affordable Care Act, individuals and families get subsidies up to 400% of the federal poverty line. But it is reduced, the amount of the subsidy, as you get closer to the 400% of the federal poverty line, because the argument is that those individuals could afford to purchase insurance.
Yeah, in his op-ed on Friday where he previewed the plan, he said that he was going to eliminate health care mandates and expand plan options and reduce what he calls government interference. What about that?
Well, there actually isn't as nearly as much government interference that people think, that these plans are private plans. They do have to meet certain minimums. But in Wisconsin, for example, there is, I believe, 15 companies now that are competing on the Affordable Care Act, on the what it's called exchanges or the marketplaces. And that's a substantial amount of competition around the state. And then individuals can choose plans that are different levels of plans. And so there are several at different levels, but there's the gold plan, the silver plan, and the bronze plan. And so individuals do have those choices. Now, there's some minimum mandates, that's true. And the minimum mandates are necessary because what we found is that some insurance companies were offering plans that were covered hardly anything. And they were only paying out like 60% of all the money that they received. And so to avoid that, There's a requirement under the Affordable Care Act, and that you could say is a mandate, that insurance companies have to pay out 85% of premiums that they received. And this is the reason some people have actually received a rebate at the end of the year, because the insurance company hadn't paid out the 85%.
Yeah, no, that's mandates on the insurance company. What about getting rid of the mandate to have insurance?
Well, I mean, you could do that, but to get rid of that mandate, what you wind up having is a lot of people without insurance, and individuals without insurance do get sick. They do go to the emergency room, and their cost is actually our cost. So even if you have insurance, you're paying their cost, because the hospital, for example, will shift the cost to others. And so if individuals are going into the emergency room without insurance, those people who do have insurance are certainly going to be paying more. And that is the reason to have everybody having what's called individual responsibility. And if you look back some time ago, the Heritage Foundation, which is the very conservative organization, they're the ones who originally came up with the idea of a mandate on everybody to have insurance. So it really came from a conservative think tank on the basis of individual responsibility.
Yeah. So the governor's plan, like a lot of Republicans promote, would allow people to shop for insurance across state lines. What's the big deal with that?
Well, the problem of what you could do that, but what I'm saying is it is inconsistent to what he says. On one hand, he says that states should have responsibility, that we should give more responsibility to states. But by shopping across state lines, you have actually reduced the responsibility of states, the power of the state. And what I mean here is that states determine the minimum procedures that you have, the minimum coverage that you have. So the state of Wisconsin covers, for example, chiropractic. Well, other states do not cover chiropractic. And so if you could shop across state lines, what you could do is you could get around Wisconsin's requirements. And not only that, not only does it reduce the power of Wisconsin to determine what should be covered in Wisconsin, but the other thing is you actually have a real negative on Wisconsin insurance companies. Because the Wisconsin insurance companies that are issuing insurance in Wisconsin are then negatively impacted, because people could say they would have to meet whatever Wisconsin's mandates are in terms of coverage. People would go to other states, let's say Indiana, and buy insurance, and because it's cheaper, and therefore Wisconsin insurance companies would be harmed.
So that's a sum on the policy that Governor Walker is going to be unveiling today. Let's talk a little bit about the politics of this. He could have chosen to unveil this anywhere, presumably. Professor Miller, why did he choose Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis, do you suppose?
Actually, I'm not sure. Uh-huh. There may have been, I forgot whether there was some event there. But it's probably not the best place to reveal it.
It's a solidly Democratic state, right?
It's a Democratic state, and it's a state that has done very well in the health area. Their insurance rates are below that of Wisconsin, the cost of insurance of Wisconsin. They have their own exchanges in Minnesota. And so he went to a state that has done everything that is necessary under the Affordable Care Act and got all the benefits.
Yeah. Well, and what about the politics of just announcing to repeal and replace Obamacare? Why is this going to be his, you know, his practically his first policy that he announces?
Well, he's mentioned it before. He's mentioned some other ones too in the area, for example, the Iran deal that he will eliminate immediately becoming office, which of course one can't do, just come in and eliminate an international agreement, but this is a domestic policy that Republicans have opposed. And in the House of Representatives, they've voted to repeal it over 50 times. The problem is that they saw this as a major issue. But what has happened over the years, the Affordable Care Act has been in existence for several years now, that people have now benefited from the Affordable Care Act. So the idea that it becomes an issue for Republicans and an advantageous issue for Republicans is becoming less and less true as people benefit. And if people knew exactly what the Affordable Care Act did, they would be absolutely against repealing it. Because if you ask people about various elements of it, they all approve it. For example...
Oh, well, let's get into some of those details after news. We do have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next. And then we'll continue talking with political science professor Ed Miller about Governor Walker's plan to replace Obamacare. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with UW Stevens Point political science professor Ed Miller about Governor Walker's plan to replace Obamacare. Governor Walker is scheduled to unveil his alternative to the Affordable Care Act today in the Twin Cities. He did provide the AP some of the details in advance of his speech today, but details are minimal. He says his plan would not add to the federal deficit, that it would completely repeal and dismantle the Obama administration's health care law. Walker says his plan would give more control to the states. It would overhaul Medicaid. It would do away with tax credits based on income. It's instead would offer tax credits based on age. It would also toss out the law's requirement that insurers offer plans that cover essential health benefits such as maternity care or mental health services. So what do we think of this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The plan supplied to the Associated Press does not include cost figures or an estimate of the number of people who would be covered. It is... getting some reaction. Democrats are criticizing the plan. And indeed, one think tank, a Democratic think tank, is saying this would be a step backwards. So what about you? Do you think this is a step backwards? Are you generally happy or unhappy with your health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act? What is your biggest concern about repealing the Affordable Care Act? Or do you think the law needs to go? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Dan on Facebook says, Governor Walker and the GOP are on the right track here. Obamacare must be repealed. The sooner the better. No one went without care before, and now we have high deductibles and are forced to buy it. So that's why Dan apparently doesn't like that. Professor Miller, nobody went without care before, and now everybody has high deductibles and we're forced to buy it.
Right. You know, a lot of people went without care. And we know that from surveys that fewer people are not going to the doctor now because of cost. And there was a substantial number of people. And those individuals maybe eventually did get care, but when they got care, their disease was advanced. And so medically, they were in much bit worse shape, as well as cost-wise, to combat the disease rather than early, and particularly provide them with preventative kinds of care. But in addition to that, there's a lot of charges against the Affordable Care Act that are simply not true. One is, about the deficit. It does not increase the deficit. According to the Office of Management and Budget, it actually reduces the deficit. Another one is that it has caused substantial increases in premiums. Well, we find that that's not true either. In 2015, this year, actually the average premium for the Silver plan, and that's the middle plan that the largest number of people select, actually went down by 0.6%. The silver plan's estimated for 2016, next year, to go up about 4.4%. But that may not occur because any kinds of large increase on the Affordable Care Act are required to be reviewed by the state's insurance commissioner. So it's not the federal government, it's the state's insurance commissioner. So it probably won't go up that amount. Medical costs in general have been the lowest increases in the last 30 years. And so the idea that the costs are going up tremendously is simply not true. Another one that's not true that you hear all the time is that individuals can't go to the doctor that they want to go to. That may be true, but it has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. It has to do with that insurance companies are reducing their networks, and they're trying to reduce the number of doctors you can go to, particularly by eliminating higher cost kinds of medical care, and that would be at certain centers, and particularly universities, who their healthcare costs tend to be higher. So they've not put them in the networks. But this is an option of the insurance companies. It has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. As a matter of fact, they're trying to work in some way at creating some rule against this. But we absolutely are seeing a reduction in networks. But this is because of companies. If somebody doesn't want networks, one thing they could do is they could go, whether it's Trump or it's Bernie Sanders, both have recommended Medicare for All, as they refer to it as, or a single-payer plan. And that would be eliminating the networks. You wouldn't necessarily have the networks. And so the arguments against the Affordable Care Act are amazing. They continue to be made when, in fact, is there's no basis statistically in truth about these.
Ron in Eau Claire joins us. Hi, Ron.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hello, Ron.
I was wondering what your guests think about, you know, Republicans get sick also. Sort of the ones on the left and the independents. And I'm just wondering, not politicians, because obviously President Obama come with this plan, so they've got to be against it. But how the general public, when it comes time to really analyze what Governor Walker is talking about, what do you think, because we haven't heard if the college kids are going to be covered until the 26th. There's a lot of good things with Obamacare, and I'm just wondering what the general public, what do you feel as Republicans will even think about this plan? Thank you. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Ron. So I just want to see, would the general public like Walker's plan?
Right. Thank you, Ron. I think that people don't know the details, whether it's the Walker plan or even the Affordable Care Act. But what we do find is, as Ryan suggests, that it is divided by party. And there's no question about that. That if you look at the support for the Affordable Care Act, of those who are not in, let's say, groups, meaning that they're not employed by their employer, but actually have the individual policy, we find in terms of Democrats and leaning Democrats, 77% like the Affordable Care Act, while Republicans are leading Republicans only 26% like the Affordable Care Act. And if you look throughout the approvals, it is divided by party. But people would be amazed if you totally repeal the Affordable Care Act. Some of the things would happen. For example, people think about the Affordable Care Act, and then they think about Medicare. You know, if you're over 65, you may be on Medicare. And the fact is that it's going to have a substantial effect on Medicare because, for example, in Medicare, they did not have an annual exam in Medicare. So if you were a member of Medicare or you received your care under Medicare, you could not go in for an annual wellness exam. I mean, you could go in, but Medicare wouldn't pay for it. They eventually, in more recent times, paid for one. And that was one when you first joined Medicare called Welcome to Medicare. But after that, they didn't pay. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, they pay every year for an exam. You can go in every year, and Medicare will pay for it. The other thing is that all the preventative services that you get that is certified by the Preventative Task Force, all of that is 100% paid, whether in Medicare, for example, or in private insurance. So even though now state employees now have a deductible, and or will have a deductible, I should say, but do have co-payments right now, when I go in for my flu shot, when I go in for other kinds of preventative kinds of things, colonoscopy, there are no co-payments, and that's because of the Affordable Care Act. And everybody who has insurance are going to feel an increased cost if you repeal the Affordable Care Act, because it deals with all these preventative services that they now would have to pay their deductible. And they would have to pay their copayment or whatever they have in their private insurance. I'm not talking, well, all this is private insurance, but what I'm saying is their group policy that they got from their employer.
Let's go next to Joe in Green Bay. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
I would like to take exception to the person who posted online or whatever it was that said, you know, everybody was covered before. To me, Obamacare, the most two important words in Obamacare were pre-existing condition. I mean, my goodness, it has addressed that. How does Governor Walker's plan address pre-existing condition? Being a person in his 60s who would like to retire before he hits Medicare, can't do it without Obamacare because of pre-existing condition. Thank you.
We did look it up. Walker says his plan covers people with pre-existing conditions and protects them from loss of coverage or huge premium spikes. Professor Miller?
Right. No, I mean, that's what he says. Mm-hmm. The problem there is, I mean, You could say that, but the problem of doing that is that the insurance companies need the money to be able to do that. And one way that they receive the money under the Affordable Care Act is that they are broadening the number of people with policies, including those who do not have, you know, certainly pre-existing conditions. And so if individuals who are healthy then say, well, I'm not going to buy insurance until later, you know, I'm healthy, I'm young, and so forth, the fact is that the insurance companies now are stuck with the burden of the sickest people. And they simply can't do that financially. It does not come out financially. In the first couple years of the Affordable Care Act, actually, the federal government underwrote insurance companies. So if insurance companies wound up with a lot of pre-existing conditions, people with pre-existing conditions, and it was very costly, the federal government would provide them a backing, financial backing. That goes away. But in fact is that without some kind of larger number of sureties, I should say, they're not going to be able to afford covering with people with pre-existing conditions. So he could say that, but it doesn't come out financially for insurance companies.
Next, we go to John in Windsor. Hello, John.
Yeah, there are a couple of things. First of all, it seems that he's once again going after the middle class and the low-income people by lowering the subsidies for those people that need the subsidies and increasing the subsidies for people who are older. And secondly, along the pre-existing condition line, my understanding of a quick read was that you have to have a certain amount of continuous coverage in order to qualify for the pre-existing coverage. So if you have, like, sort of like the Health Insurance Affordability Act, if you have 4 or 5 months, you may be eligible, but you have to have the consistent coverage. Could you please address those?
Yeah, John. I don't know the specifics. I've only got the summary here. But if that's the case, the tons of people would not be insured under pre-existing conditions because they wouldn't have insurance in the first place. And that's where we have a lot of people with pre-existing conditions. Individuals who are working, you know, the largest number of individuals receive their insurance from their employer, through their employer. That's always been the case. It's the way it evolved after World War II in the United States. And so those individuals, their pre-existing conditions are covered. And if they're under a law that was passed in the 1990s, the Clinton administration, that if you go from one group policy to another group policy, pre-existing conditions cannot be excluded. So if you're working for one company with a health policy and then you go work for another company, then they must cover your pre-existing conditions. But the problem is, and you've put the nail on the head, a lot of these people are not covered because these are people under the individual plan and they're not covered, and so therefore when they go seek insurance, as you explained it, that pre-existing conditions won't be covered, or at least not covered for a time.
So then John also, though, was concerned about and was considering it kowtowing to the elderly, that lower income and middle income people don't get the size of subsidies as the elderly. And let me just repeat what we have here. Young people, though 17 years old and younger, would get a credit, a tax credit, valued at $900, while older consumers between the ages of 50 and 64 would get a tax credit valued at $3,000. So is that kowtowing to the elderly?
Right, and it's a problem because the fact is that younger people don't have, on the average, I should say, don't have as much money, and so that this may not be enough to go out and buy the insurance policy. Now, their insurance policies will be cheaper because of their age, and when you you do the actuarial calculations, the fact is that their policies would be cheaper. But they may, A, in terms of income, may not be able to afford it, but B, they may be winding up buying policies, and this has been the case, in which are really stripped down policies. And so they get a policy, and so they think they're covered, and in fact is there is extreme limitations in coverage. And it is, and individuals who are young do get sick. And some of them, unfortunately, and I've confronted them recently in my class, as a matter of fact, who are significantly sick with some very significant problems that have high bills. And those insurance policies won't cover that.
Tom on Facebook says, we can talk about adjusting Obamacare, but the ship has sailed on repealing it. It's already entrenched into the system, and it would cause chaos if repealed. Is that right?
Yes, it would. It would create major problems and lots of issues. And some people don't even think about other things that the Affordable Care Act has done. I mean, one of the things the Affordable Care Act has done is that hospitals have to meet certain quality standards. This is under the Affordable Care Act. And so if the hospital, for example, has a high infection rate or the hospital has a high readmission rate, which is related to often infections and other problems where they release the patient within a month, the patient is then readmitted to the hospital, the fact is that they now receive lower Medicare reimbursement. And so what has happened is that hospitals all over the country, it's amazing that they didn't do this without this, but because of this disincentive, has significantly reduced their infection rates, and they've significantly reduced the number of people readmitted to the hospital. And so they're looking at it from a financial standpoint in terms of getting a higher Medicare reimbursement rate. And if you have a very good, extremely good infection rate, you actually get a benefit. So you get a little bit more on the Medicare reimbursement. But what that has also done, besides improving care in the hospital and the possibility of getting infections, what it's done is lowered costs because hospitals are the big cost. And if you could avoid somebody getting a hospital-acquired infection, you lower the cost of that person in the hospital substantially because then that doesn't have to be treated.
We are talking with Ed Miller. He's a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. He's co-director of the Center for the Small City. His areas of expertise include American politics, public policy, and health policy. And we are talking with him about Governor Walker's new proposal for a national health care policy. Governor Walker will give a speech today in a suburb of Minneapolis in which he will outline his proposal to replace the Affordable Care Act. We're talking about some of the details as we know them and welcoming your questions and welcoming your reactions to this idea in general. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think that the Affordable Care Act should be repealed and replaced with something like what Governor Walker is proposing? Or not? Why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Governor Scott Walker will reveal his plan to replace the Affordable Care Act in a speech today in Minneapolis. His plan would extend refundable tax credits to help pay for private insurance based on age instead of income. It would allow people to shop for insurance across state lines. It would restructure Medicaid, among other provisions. Walker's plan does not include cost figures or an estimate on the number of people who would be covered. We are talking about the policy and the politics of all this with Ed Miller, a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point, who specializes in health policy. And we are welcoming your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642 1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. Our next caller is Rick in Seymour. Hi, Rick.
And good morning.
Morning.
I would just like to suggest that one of the key components of the Republican policies is to maintain and build upon the competitive ethic. One of the building blocks of the competitive ethic is the foundation that we never have enough and that we always are in competition with our other people. They want a system of social insecurity, and this is the playbook of Scott Walker and all the Republican candidates, whereas I think that there is a lack of vision both in the Democratic Party and the nation to realize that we have a committed effort to work together. So I think that the Affordable Care Act is not perfect. There are many ways that it can be improved upon, but it's a good start. And I think that that social insecurity is one of the building blocks of this competitive ethic, and we'll never be satisfied with whatever we get as long as we're in that mindset.
So does this create social insecurity, Professor Miller?
Right. Thank you, Rick. Yeah, it does, in terms of particularly a safety net, in terms of supporting individuals who have less money and less ability to buy insurance. But I should point out that the Affordable Care Act itself, which is interesting, it's being attacked by Republicans, and has been attacked by Republicans, is the fact is that it's actually a market-based model, that we do not have, the government having a single-payer plan or a government plan. All of this is private insurance companies. And in the marketplace, it's all it is in the marketplace or exchanges, is a website. Basically, it's a website. And it's a website in which an individual consumer can go in and choose the plan that that individual wants, whether it's the plan or even the level of the plan, because as I said, there are different levels, different amounts of coverage. So the consumer has total freedom to choose whatever the person wants. And in Wisconsin, as I say, we have a significant number of competitive insurance companies. There are some places in the country in which there are not. There's not a number of insurance companies that have actually come in to participate in their marketplace. But this is very similar to the drug benefit. When we got the drug benefit, and this was in the Bush administration, it's exactly that. There's a website. You go to the website, and you decide on which drug policy you want. And there's a substantial number of policies. It's very confusing because of the number of policies and the fact that they cover different drugs. But individuals can go in and make the selection. This is the same kind of model.
All right, well, here's another perspective. William emails, the year that Obamacare took effect, my Medicare Advantage company, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, canceled all policies in my area, Walworth County. I had to get a different plan. My copay rose. Since I am solely a recipient of Social Security, that did not help.
Right, and the decision to cancel the Medicare Advantage plan was simply a decision of their insurance company. The fact is that the Medicare Advantage plan had been given too much money under what's called the Medicare Modernization Act. And that Medicare Modernization Act increased the amount of money the Advantage plans received. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, there was recognition by everybody, Democrats and Republicans, that they've actually received too much under the Advantage plan. So under the Affordable Care Act, it's supposed to be over a long period of time, that amount is supposed to be reduced to a more reasonable profit margin. However, the Obama administration has delayed some of that reduction. So therefore, to attribute the cancelization of this particular policy to that reduction is simply not correct, because it hasn't been that very little of that reduction has been made.
Carrie in Augusta is with us now. Hi, Carrie.
Good morning. I would like to actually repeal and replace Governor Walker's plan with something that is actually working called TADA, the Affordable Care Act. As a middle-class breast cancer survivor, I want to remind him that health care is not for just the affluent or the healthy.
Thank you, Carrie. Yes, it's the health is for everybody.
Yeah, it is
for everybody. And in Wisconsin, we have the problem that individuals who are not wealthy, and the number of individuals no longer qualify, for example, for Badger Care, because he reduced the Badger Care from the eligibility of 200%. Wisconsin was above the Affordable Care Act of 133, or actually it's 138%, because there's some income that's not counted.
Professor Miller, let me jump in, because
right.
We have a caller who wants to talk about that issue about Medicaid funds. Claire in Madison, go ahead.
Good. Yes, hi, thanks, Joy. Yes, Professor, if I recall correctly, Scott Walker already rejected federal funds for Medicaid this year or last year, and now, if I understand correctly, in this new plan, he wants to reject more Medicaid money? And didn't he do something to the hospital plan, too, to affect hospitals in a negative way around the state of Wisconsin?
Well, according to the summary I have, Walker's plan would reorganize Medicaid. It would split it into smaller, separate divisions. States in one program for low-income families and people without disabilities would be able to set up eligibility requirements and rules for how services are delivered and costs are shared. So that, I guess he would reorganize Medicaid under his plan, Professor Miller.
Yeah, exactly how that would work, I don't know. But I do know in the state of Wisconsin, we have given up substantial amount of money in not taking the Medicare expansion, because the Medicare expansion, which, as I say, goes to 138%, was all those who were not on the Badger Care in Wisconsin, as we call it, would be 100% funded by the federal government. So, in other words, it would not cost the state any money. And over a period of 10 years, that reduces to 90%. That's substantially above what the normal reimbursement rate from the federal government is under Medicare, which is in Wisconsin. It varies by state, the income of the state in Wisconsin. I think it's 67%. But this is 100%. And so by not taking that, we lost just this year, I think the estimate is like $340 million. Over the 10-year period, we will be losing in Wisconsin $2 billion. Money we left, as they say, on the table that we did not take from the federal government. And so, consequently, it's costing Wisconsin taxpayers a lot of money. And Wisconsin taxpayers realize that. In Wisconsin, at the last election, there were 20 referenda about expansion of Medicare in counties, 20 counties. And in those counties, every single one of them won about the Wisconsin should take Medicaid. And so the Medicaid expansion. A number of Republican states have even taken it. Kasich, for example, is a case in point. Kasich, governor of Ohio, said that it just made sense, not only for the people, but economically for the state of Ohio. And so they took Medicaid expansion money. And we see a number of states have done that.
We have a couple of people on Facebook talking about health care in Wisconsin and Governor Walker's impact on health care in Wisconsin. Cindy says, like he screwed up and continues to screw up the long-term health care system in Wisconsin for people who are frail, elderly, or who have a disability. Penny says, Wisconsin's health insurance will be be going up next year, mostly due to Walker, so we know who we can thank for increased health insurance premiums. You want to briefly touch on that as we're almost out of time?
Well, the change, he had proposed a substantial change in how elderly people are taken care of in the counties, and this is one of Wisconsin's premier programs. Some of that did not pass because there was such opposition to it.
I wanted to also talk a little bit about some politics because Governor Walker is going to be unveiling this plan today, a day after he criticized congressional GOP leadership over Obamacare. Remarks at the Iowa State Fair yesterday, Governor Walker said Senate Republicans are to blame for not sending legislation to repeal the Affordable Care Act to President Obama. He agreed that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is a part of the problem. Comment on that.
Well, I think he's attacking McConnell, his own leader. Of course, that's a violation of Ronald Reagan's idea. He's supposedly supporting of Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan's you don't attack another Republican. That was one of his things. But in fact, he doesn't realize in the Senate that even though they have a majority, Republicans have a majority in the Senate, they couldn't pass it anyway because there's a 60 vote requirement, basically, because of the filibuster, which has become used to be unusual phenomena. Now it's a usual phenomena. And the Republicans don't have the 60 votes, so they could not pass it anyway. But this particular attack shows desperation as he loses in the polls. Cruz was also attacked, McConnell, Senator Cruz, and the fact is that he was roundly criticized for attacking the leader of his party.
In our final minute, how big a splash is Governor Walker going to make with this plan? Is this going to help his poll numbers?
Probably not. it's apparently a slim plan. It's only 6 pages. He's been talking about repealing it, as the other candidates have. It's the summer. I doubt that it's going to have much impact. More impact would be how he performs in the rest of the debates, because one of his reasons for losing some poll numbers is that he didn't show very much in the debate that was already held.
Yeah, thank you very much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point, co-director of the Center for the Small City. His areas of expertise include health policy. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Elizabeth Deliquest and to Christy Taylor for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. It's another edition of On Your Money coming up next. Financial planner Kevin McKinley will have information on making a will and savings bonds and back-to-school shopping. That's coming up in our next hour. This is the Ideas Network.